Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now here's Justin.
In our time allotted before us, I want to analyze something that I'm afraid too many times we leave out of the sermon. We leave out of the Bible study. We leave out of our daily lives, because I'll be the first to tell you, you and I are commanded in Scripture to resist temptation. We are commanded that we are to do our utmost and our best to resist it. But I'm afraid sometimes we don't dive into the aspect of how. So in our time allotted, I want us to examine how to successfully resist temptation. And we need to remind ourselves that I'm tempted with one thing, that you may be tempted with something completely different, and you may find it absurd that whatever it is that tempts me, it doesn't tempt you, and vice versa. But it's still common to all men that we are tempted. Even Jesus Christ was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4 and verse 15. He was perfect, did no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth, Peter tells us. So Jesus is our perfect example, which shows that we can resist. Not always easy, but it can be done. How can we resist successfully temptation? It's almost as if you look temptation there dead in the eyes and just say no. Just say no. Other times you have to run away from it. I've got a handful, about six quick things. We won't labor on any point on how to successfully resist temptation. We go to the book of Matthew as we start out. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13. I want us to look at the Sermon on the Mount. And in that sermon, Christ is laying his groundwork for all his earthly teaching. I've heard the Sermon on the Mount called the Magna Carta of Christ's teachings. Really the groundwork that everything else he did in his three-year ministry builds off of. After he gets through chapter 5, where he repeatedly says, "You've heard it's been said, but I say unto you," bringing old thoughts up through chapter 6, he begins to talk about resisting temptation in prayer. And look in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13, and this is in the model of the, or in the midst of the model prayer. Here's a template on how we should pray. Verse 13, he says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Number one, how to successfully resist temptation is prayerfully. We must pray about it. We can even pray, because Jesus said pray to not be led into temptation. We can even pray, "Guide me away from temptations, tempting areas in my life." We need to pray, because if we are willing to pray about it, that means you and I are willing to acknowledge that this is an area where I am tempted. And that puts it on the front of your mind not to give into it, but if you know you're going to be tempted here, it helps you be on guard when you're in that area. So number one, we must pray. But he says, lead us not. I think about Jesus as the great shepherd in Matthew, or in Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters." He, as the good shepherd, if we follow him, will lead us away from temptation. And when we get near it, he will keep the sheep safe. That's number one, is prayerfully. Number two, go to the book of James. In fact, we'll be in James for a minute. Just start there in chapter 1, if you will. James, the general epistle, not written to any one group of people, but to the stoes that are scattered abroad, Christians in the first century, scattered by persecution. Arguably the first New Testament book written, from what we can tell. And number two, how do I resist temptation? I need to do it faithfully. Pick up, if you will, James 1, beginning in verse 5. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Notice not just some. In all his ways, he is unstable. Number two, I need to faithfully resist temptation. James beautifully lays it out, talking about the wave on the seashore. If you weigh, if you doubt, if you have faith but you doubt, you're just as consistent as the wave on the seashore. You're over here 1 minute, and then you're over there the next minute, and those waves will just continue to repeat that process indefinitely. He says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. I need to be faithful in my resisting of temptation, because at times it will be very easy for me to resist it and just say no. Other times it may not be as easy, but I need to resist that temptation just as much when it's hard as I did when it is easy. Number two is faithfully. Number three, go to James chapter 4. Just stay in James, and we've got one more here. But James chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, I need to purposefully resist temptation. I need to purposely resist. Verse 7, submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's a promise. If you resist, he will flee. Draw nigh or near unto God. He will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Number three, I need to purposefully resist temptation. I need to on purpose resist it. That's what he's talking about, verse 7 and 8. If I submit myself, that is a purposeful submission to God's will. If I draw near unto him, we know that the devil will flee from us. But too many times, Christians want to take a passive role in life. As a Christian, they want to sit by, and then they wonder why they wind up in sin, because they're not doing anything to resist the temptations. Amen. So we need to purposefully resist. Back up to chapter 1. Let's hit number 4. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 13, and we'll actually read through verse 25. Pick up the scripture with me. James 1:13, let no man say when he is tempted that I am tempted of God. For God can neither not be tempted, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bring forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bring forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway he forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Number four, how do I successfully resist temptation? Consistently. I need to consistently resist temptation, because there are some temptations in our life that we face on a frequent basis. Some you may be tempted with only once or twice, and others they keep coming back. And no matter the frequency, I must always resist the temptation. James uses a great analogy. Well, first he says that God doesn't tempt you, but you're tempted when you're drawn away of your own lust and enticed. Then he talks about being active, be doers of the word, not hearers only. And then I love the way that he uses this example beginning in verse 23. If any man is a hearer and not a doer, he's like a man, the King James says, in a natural glass. We would say today is a man who looks in the mirror at his face, walks away, and immediately forgets what his hair looks like, or if he needs to shave. He said that's the same thing you're doing if you're hearing only and not doing. You're forgetting it. but you must, verse 25, continue in the perfect law of liberty, and he says you'll be blessed. Number four, I need to consistently resist temptation.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Let's look at number five. Go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39, to set the scene, we are talking about Joseph. And Joseph has been the favorite son of his father. His father made a coat of many colors for him, made the other brothers jealous. They ripped that coat to pieces. They put him in a pit. They sell him off to the Midianites. Reuben is the one that speaks up because the brothers want him killed. Reuben said, "We better not kill him. Let's sell him off into slavery." They kill a goat and they sprinkle the blood on that beautiful coat of many colors, give it to the father. Jacob just thinks his favorite son out of all of them is dead. Now while Joseph, he gets sold and sold and sold and winds up in the land of Egypt, through the providence of God, is elevated to basically second in command. Right now we introduce to him, he's in Potiphar's household. Potiphar, one of the right-hand men, if you will, of Pharaoh. And he is living in Potiphar's house. While Potiphar's out doing things, Joseph is there. And an unnamed woman in the Bible only calls her Potiphar's wife, doesn't like this. Look here in verse 7. It came to pass after these things, his master's wife, Potiphar's wife, cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, "Come lie with me." It might as well. Potiphar's not home. He'll never know. Don't we hear temptation sound like that today? They'll never know. But he, verse 8, refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master does not know what is going on in the house, and he has committed all that he has into my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither has he kept anything back from me except for you." He's kept you back because you're his wife. He says, "How can you do this great wickedness and sin against God?" But notice, when we resist, he resisted temptation. But temptation lingers at the door. Verse 10, it came to pass, she spake unto Joseph day by day. "Today, come lie with me, Joseph." "No, I won't." "Tomorrow, come lie." She's trying to wear him down. But he hearkened not. Verse 11, it came to pass at this time, he went into the house to do his regular business, and there was none of the men in the house. And she caught him by the garment and said, "Lie with me." And he leaves his garment in his hand and fled. And I love this last phrase, "and got him out." Number five, we need to permanently resist temptation. I assume she was probably good looking. At least Potiphar would have thought she was. But you got this woman who's coming on to you, wanting you to do things reserved only for a husband and wife within the bonds of marriage. It would have worn on any man. And so Joseph, instead of remaining in that situation where he would be tempted day by day, he gets out of Dodge. Did you catch that? He got himself out. He left his coat. Now, she's going to use that to try to frame him and say it happened, but the Bible tells us nothing happened. Dear friends, number five, we need to permanently resist temptation. And sometimes that involves changing what we're doing. That involves changing where we're going. Maybe changing where we're eating. If you have a place that all they serve is alcohol, and if you're tempted with alcohol, probably shouldn't eat there. I'm just saying. It's one of those things. Maybe you're tempted to stop by the scratch-off counter on the way home from work. Maybe you take a different way home from work so you're not near that temptation. Maybe there are friends who are tempting you to curse God. You do need better friends. I can tell you that one right now. But we need to permanently, number five, let's go to number six, close out, 1 Corinthians 10, 12 through 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. And as I turn there, I want to remind you that it's not always easy to permanently change things, but if it gets you to heaven, it's worth it. Because there's nothing on this side of eternity that's worth doing if it keeps you out of heaven on that side. You take that to the bank. Let's look here, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 following, and we'll close out number 6. Wherefore, Paul says, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing that which we blessed, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for all are partakers of that one bread. Number six, and lastly, how do I successfully resist temptation? Collectively. We can collectively resist temptation. Because I might be struggling with something that you have come through, and you've come out clear on the other side, and it no longer affects you, then I can use you as a resource and a lifeline, and you can help me get through that together. And that's one of the blessings of the Lord's church, is that we are one united body, and we collectively can resist temptation. That was prayerfully, faithfully, purposefully, consistently, permanently, and collectively.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.